Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, or basically good morning. This is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here for another episode here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. I first want to thank God for opening, waking me up this morning and blessing me, and I want to say today is a day. Today's topic is a very powerful topic, and it's going to be powerful in a lot of ways because it means a lot of things, different things to different people. And it's interesting enough because today it seemed like when they say, oh, hell no, broke out, that's what it feels like. I know, especially to me. My computer went dead. The internet wasn't working. But you know what? I still find a way through the grace of God to make it happen. So I'm waiting on Pastor to contact me. I just sent him a message. But today's topic is you can't handle Satan. Now, we're going to have Pastor Dan Estelle joining us in a few minutes, hopefully, because he's going to be giving some biblical teachings as it relates to Satan and what we as a believer can handle and what we may need help with. Because a lot of times we take on these battles and we take on these fights. And it's kind of like, I remember they used to have a play and it was entitled, Your Arms Are Too Short to Box with God. And so we start talking about, are we getting to this boxing match? But then when we start talking about handling Satan or handling the devil, part of it is trying to figure out who is the devil. And what do you mean I can't handle it? If they say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, when do we have to learn to sit back and try something different? Because a lot of times they always say when you know better, you do better. Now, Pastor just sent me a text message talking about, yeah, he's ready, but he haven't called in. So, okay, here he is. So let me join him on. Good morning, Pastor. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing very well. How are you?
You don't want to know. You know, I kept complaining about my computer, and I said a couple weeks ago that my computer was saying it was off, that it, I had no internet. Today, I pressed the button. It wasn't working at all. I'm pressing power strips. I'm doing, and then I had to use my iPad, and then with the iPad, it told me I had no internet service. I'm just like, okay, but you know what? I'm making work. It's working, so I'm going to keep it going. I just got to go put this computer in the shop.
All right.
So
our show is about the devil today.
Man. So you know what? And I'm glad that even with this topic, I got stuck when I was trying to put the words together. Because you know normally I'm very long-winded. But if you look at the description, you see how short that was? Because when they say your mind, when they talk about the trick of the devil didn't want me exposing him. He was like, well, you better get out of my territory and leave me alone. Now, so I'm going to start with the episode topic, and it indicates, why is it when times get hard, we always want to blame Satan or the devil? Do you know the difference as to who Satan is, or did Satan do it, or was it perhaps bad luck? I remember Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. You know, we always would use that when we get in trouble. Now, many believers have heard the saying that God won't put more on you than you can handle. But many have also indicated that when one decided or began a relationship with God, they are often tempted by Satan, attacked by so many attacks, and sometimes we don't know where those attacks are coming from. And I remember my mother used to, when I would go to her Bible, it would say evildoers. And I was like, who the heck are evildoers? Now, we know that the devil is real. Yet, the devil's power is laughable compared to the power of God. So, Pastor Danisil, I want you to educate us when it comes to this topic in regards to you can't handle Satan.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pastor Danisil. I am from the Higher Dominion Worship Center. We are located in San Marcos at 800 West Mission Road. And we welcome you to come join and worship with us at 12:30 each Sunday. This morning, our topic is we're dealing with Satan. And I wanted to start with my opening statement on who Satan is, the existence of him, and just a few points to open up with. And so The first thing for believers to understand is that, yes, the devil is real. When you study culture, when you study society, there is not a culture or a tribe or society in the world that doesn't have some concept of this evil power, this invisible evil force, the existence of the devil. And yet, with all that knowledge and belief in the world, there are yet those, even within the realms of Christianity, that doubt his existence. Some of us think that he is a Disney character. Some of us think that he is made up by pundits to scare believers into obeying the word and into following rules. And so if we look out throughout the Bible, there's lots of writings on Satan and on Lucifer. I looked through the Bible. He has about 27 different names. You know, mm-hmm. he's written about, he's talked about in the Old Testament, in 7 books in the Old Testament and 19 books in the New Testament. And so the Lord knew that this is our adversary. And so he wrote a lot about him in Genesis, Chronicles, Job, Psalms, Isaiah, especially Ezekiel and Zechariah. In fact, in Job, he talks about the devil 12 times. And then, of course, Paul deals with him a lot in the Pauline epistles, in all the epistles, in epistemology, but he's also discussed in 4 other books in the New Testament. And so we see even Jesus had an encounter with Satan in Matthew 4 when he was getting ready to start his earthly ministry. And so the devil is has no discrimination per person. He will go after each and every one. That is his job. But I wanted to make it clear in this opening statement that the devil does not have more power than God. He doesn't come even close to God. In fact, even though he's in open rebellion, he is still under the power of God. And so mm-hmm. I wanted to leave it right there as we get into this topic more.
And you know, Pastor, that's interesting because a lot of times we always say good versus evil. And when we look at good, we want to say God, but we look at evil, we look at the devil or Satan or Lucifer mm-hmm. or, you know, like you said, there's so many different names that people call him. Now, I want to say something in regards to that because I had a conversation with my granddaughter. And my granddaughter was telling me, and she's only 9 years old, and she's in elementary school. And she told me mm-hmm. that during her recess that a lot of the kids are playing with a Ouija board. And a lot of times, you know, you wonder where these spirits are coming from because you see spirits in animals, you see spirits in people, and sometimes we see people and we want to call them the devil. I remember when my son's father first knocked on my door and my best friend was at the door with me. She said, Jeanette, that's the devil. And she was telling the truth, but I didn't want to listen at the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we think that spirits can get in people. What do you think about this with these kids playing with these Ouija boards and some of the things that they're watching? Because a lot of that is kind of leading them in the wrong direction, in my opinion. What do you think about that?
I think a lot is going on in schools. But in regards to that, I'm going to answer that directly. It goes to the wisdom of Satan. And what I mean by mm-hmm. that is, let me first say, God is, he's omnipotent, has all the power. He is omniscient, he knows all, and he is omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. Now, in saying that, I can clearly say that Satan is not. And so since Satan can't be in all places at all times, he has his emissaries. This Satan, mm-hmm. when he was kicked out of heaven, he took a third of the stars with him. We read about this in Ezekiel. And so when he left heaven, he took a third of the stars or one third of the angels in heaven. These have now become demonic personalities, and it is their job to deceive the believers. And so Satan does not have the authority, and he does not have the power to attack us or to come after us. But what he does is through his wisdom, his skill, his mind, and through the power of his emissaries is to get people to do it themselves. And so what I'm saying is that a Ouija board is what I call a open gate. It is a way mm-hmm. to The enemy is a way to the demonic realm, which is very much true. And if they can start you at a young age and get your mind possessed, if they can open you up to the demonic realm and get you possessed, if they can open your mind and your ideas to these evil concepts and to the power of darkness at a young age, well, that's just a thrill for the devil. And what we have to understand as parents is that we have to teach on these in the right light. And what I mean is you have to call evil, evil. Sometimes we have parents, in fact, I know several parents that won't let their kids play with Pokemon cards because, you know, they said the kids just playing with cards, but the parents say these cards have demonic pictures on them. And some of them are mythical animals, but some of them are actually demonic spirits because the parents looked them up. The same thing with the game Dungeons and Dragons. Dungeons and Dragons goes into that demonic realm also, is teaching the kids that they can have power through the underworld, that there's doors they can open, that there's channels, and that there are contracts that they can make with dark and evil spirits. And so oftentimes the kids look upon these things as games and as links. But what they really are is they're not games. These are actually gateways to the demonic realm. And so the other shock that I have is just to see that these are allowed to come to schools, that a 9-year-old kid can identify this and say, you know, these are what the kids are doing. And to hear that is shocking to me. But we are living in the last days. And one thing we can say about the devil and his forces is that they are bold.
And, you know, and it's interesting, like I said, because she had that talk with me. And I remember when I was a kid and we had one, and my mother, we was trying to play one time. I'll never forget. I'm the ringleader. I'm sitting up there and I'm trying to scare everybody in the neighborhood. And then my friends decided to try to scare me. So they all in the backyard making all kind of noise. And then I got violent and I went outside throwing all kind of stuff, pulling guns. And because I was like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. So I'm going to shoot the devil. You know, but the thing is, we got to be careful with what we put into our mind and our spirit. And when she told me that, I remember even being a kid myself, but I had to talk to her in a way that she understood so she wouldn't join that crowd of those kids. And I was like, well, thank you for sharing that with me, because most kids don't want to tell you what's happening at their school. And even go to the principal or talk to the teacher and say, okay, well, these kids are bringing these things here. They may think you're crazy, but we do have to educate ourselves and find out what our children are doing, what they're thinking, who they're hanging out with, and even us when we're on our Christian journey, because everybody that comes into our path is not going to be saved. They're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they can have demonic spirits too.
This is very much true. We must understand that as believers, spirits are real. The Bible tells us in the book of Leviticus, for those writing this down, do not turn to mediums. Don't seek them out. Don't seek evil spirits. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:9, no one that is born of God will continue to be seduced by spirits or to go to spirits. We learn in Chronicles about Saul and in Kings about Saul's encounter with the witch of Endor, when he did not hear from the prophet of God because of his disobedience, and he went to the witch and he got bad advice from the witch of Endor. And so we must understand that these spirits are real. I have known many believers that have come in contact with spirits and had to, you know, bind them because they knew what they were.
Mm-hmm.
The spirits will let themselves be known to you for people who are seeking them out. But the Bible says, do not go to them. We have the word of God. We have prophets from the Lord. We have pastors. We have teachers. We are to stay in the light and not to go into darkness. And so as children, we have curious minds and we are tempted about these things. We had the eight ball when I was young, and people would shake up the eight ball and it would tell you things. And then they had the Ouija board and those things. And even seeing those things, they would turn my spirit as a young believer, as a young child, as a Christian, because that's where true discernment comes in for the believer. God would tell us, our first impulse is to know, walk away No, stay away from these things. No, tell people that these things aren't good. And we should not allow temptation to overtake us, because if you keep listening to the devil, he's tricky. He's wise, mm-hmm. he's tricky, and that's what happened to Eve.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pastor, I want to bring this up because I don't know if you knew I saw this woman again, but I never forget the time when even in the field of mental health, a lot of times we talk about even some of the mental illnesses, whether it's schizophrenia, you know, some of the different disorders that people have, we look at it from a spiritual realm sometimes too, in regards to casting out these demons and praying for individuals. I'll never forget that woman I brought to your church when I said I was scared. I was like, I don't know if I can handle this, because this right here, I don't know what I'm looking at. And when we was in that room and I said, Pastor, she switched. You said, I know, I saw it. We didn't know how we were
exactly
out that room. But she came back one day. She called me. And she sat in my room, she looked me in my face, and she looked at me, she said, I got to go. I said, okay, bye. And it was years later, because she still knew she couldn't, you ain't going to penetrate me. No. But something brought her back to me again, but she looked in my face and realized, this is not going to work. So a lot of times, even when, like I said, we're dealing with mental health issues, when we're dealing with people coming into the church, a lot of times individuals don't know how to ward those spirits off of them. Now, when we talk about you can't handle the devil, why do you think so many people try to take this battle on themselves?
I think what people, that's a broad question. I'm going to answer it several different ways. The first thing I want to have believers to understand is that God doesn't want us to entertain him. He wants us to allow the leaders, allow the pastors to pray to cast out devils. And Jesus always asks, will you be made whole? And it's interesting what you just said. The person you was dealing with wasn't ready to be made whole yet. There's a contract that's made, even with demonic forces, with souls. There are soul ties to spirit. There are soul ties with demons. Possession takes place with a willing vessel. That person, even if they've been tricked or manipulated, you know, the devil cannot come in and just take over a person. He cannot just take over a Christian. There has to be manipulation. There has to be the person who's open to that. And so when we talk about that we can't handle the devil, what we really mean is that there's so many other good things for the believer to be doing. There's so many good things for us to be doing, leading others to Christ, building the kingdom of God, taking care of our home, taking care of our family, taking care of our business. But there are some people that have an attraction to the dark. There's some people that have an attraction to Satan. And I'm not going to say it's always dark, because when they talk about him in Zechariah and Ezekiel, Satan is beautiful. His heavenly name is Lucifer. God said he gave him the most beautiful covering that there was. He's covered in jewels. He's bedazzled in gold. He was his own choir, his own instruments. He played the highest notes. He played the best notes. All of these things are not describing an evil devil that we think about. God said he set the seal upon him that was called perfection. So the most beautiful and the most brilliant thing that God ever created was Lucifer. And what happened was he said that I will extend myself higher than God. I will go higher than the throne of God. I will sit upon the mount of congregation. I will, you know, be like him most high. And that's when God said, you will not, you will be out of here. And so pride got to him. And when he fell hard. The book of Ezekiel explains that he fell hard. And when he fell, there was a great thump in the earth. And hell was created for him. A third of the angels followed him. And so what God is saying is, because of the wisdom he has, because of his knowledge of the Bible, he's letting the believers know that on your own, you can't handle Satan. I didn't put you here to handle Satan. Satan is my issue, okay? Satan came after Jesus in Matthew, the fourth chapter. He came after him when he was tired. He came after him after he had fasted. And that's the same thing he does to us. Satan doesn't stop. He's always on the prowl. The Bible says that he'll leave you just for a little while, just for a season. He's coming back again with temptation. He's coming back with more. And so for the believer to get in their mind, you know, you can't handle Satan. It means that God handles him. The Holy Spirit handles him. Jesus handles him. They put him in place. The way we handle the devil is to ignore him. And the Bible says when we ignore him, he'll flee.
Ooh-wee. And you know what, Pastor? That is strong. And a lot of times individuals don't struggle with that. I remember being a kid, and my mother used to always say, the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. And those were some powerful words. And that used to be, I used to be as a kid, like, ooh, he go kill you, he'll steal from you, and he will destroy you. Pastor, what does that really mean biblically?
Yes, that is his job. I want to say to the believer that they need to understand that Satan is not your friend. He came to kill, he came to steal, he came to destroy, because that's how the Lord kicked him out of heaven. He left a thief. He left trying to kill God's kingdom. Okay? He left trying to destroy God's kingdom. Okay? I want to go back to what I said just a few minutes ago. Just because he's a thief, just because he wants to kill, just because he wants to destroy, doesn't mean his outward pulchritude is ugly. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
There have been many good-looking thieves. There have been many good-looking people who are beguiled by the enemy. And so it's important for people to understand that. And so when God's saying that, what he's giving is a direct warning to the believer to understand that he's not here to be your friend. The second part of that is that the promise that God says, he says that I came that you may have life in it more abundantly. And so I want the believers to focus on the latter part of that verse instead of the first part of that verse. The first part, the power of the enemy is taken away by the blood of Jesus. So, yes, he did come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is true, but it's taken away by the believer through the blood of Christ. When we become saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, we don't have to fear those things of the enemy anymore because we're protected. What we focus on now is the latter part of that verse where he says that I've come that you may have life and that more abundantly. And so our vision has to shift. Our mental focus has to shift. Okay? I don't know a believer alive, and I know a lot of people within Christendom that have not been attacked.
Mm-hmm.
But our focus is not to stay focused on the attack. It's to be focused on the deliverance and that the power of God used to bring us out, and not just to bring us out, but to take us through. And so that's what I want the believers to focus on in that verse. We should never be afraid of the devil as long as we have the Lord in our life. And that's the main point.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pastor, when you were saying that, I thought about a con man. A con man ain't going to be a good con man if he's not attractive, if he don't look good, smell good, or something.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
it's got to be something to lure you, and that's where the attraction comes in. Now, another term that we use and have heard a lot is when they say the devil is a liar. What is that biblically? When we talk about the lie that the devil is a liar.
That is... I like that. That's what we talked about earlier when they gave the names of Satan. And so Satan has 27 names. He's the accuser of the brother. He's the adversary of the blind. He's Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And I can go all the way down to all 27 names given to him in the Bible. But the one you just said, that he is the liar, is the one that the believers need to understand the most. So if they would turn to John 8:44, that's when they talk about when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he's telling them, ye are of your father the devil. The lust of your father is with you, okay? And he calls the devil a liar. He says, for he is a liar, number one. And then he goes even farther to say that he is the father of lies. Now, when he is the father of lies, every single lie comes from the devil. It is propagated in his mind, and it is given to the believers. And so the first lie that he told is in Genesis for us, for the believers, 3:4-5. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall surely die. And then he says, for God doth know that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God. The lie there was that, no, she didn't die, okay? And number two was that she was already like God. She was already created in the image of God. And so it's the devil's job to try to use words to fool the believer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then the Bible records his final lie in the book of Revelation, when he says, let no man deceive you by any means, for the day shall come, except there become a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and wonder. And so this is speaking of the Antichrist, and Satan himself is going to bring him. And this man's going to come with power. This man's going to come. They're going to worship him. This man's going to come like he's a savior of the world, and it's all going to be a big lie. And so that's his name, and the believers have to understand that. But let me just say, we are so quick to believe something that sounds good. We are so quick to believe something that itches our ears. We are so good. I preached one time a message about of everything in the garden. She had, first of all, she had Adam, her husband. Second of all, she could eat of everything that God had created. She had all the luxuries and everything. Some people read this and they think, well, what number three trees? No, they had thousands and thousands. There was so much in the garden. And so Satan led her to the place of her destruction. And that's what he will do with us. And when he leads us to the place of our destruction, our weakness, the catalyst to take us over to the dark side, now he will tell any lie. He will mince words. He will try to make things sound as good and as charming as they can to have us to have separation from God. And ultimately, that's his lie. He wants us to be separated from God just as he is.
Now, if anyone want to call in and join in on the conversation, you can give us a call at 516-387-1914. And if you have any questions for the pastor, Pastor Dennis Dale, or of myself, and we will do our best to answer some of the questions that you may have in regards to some of the tricks of Satan. Now, Pastor, I'm looking at some information. And part of the information is when we start talking about some of the tricks and some of the things that Satan do. Now, not only does Satan mess with the minds of the believers, but he also blinds the minds of the unbelievers. And sometimes as we are looking at these empty churches and people witnessing and people, I remember I used to see people with bullhorns standing outside talking, and people would be like, oh, they crazy. Oh, we don't want to hear that. What about that in regards to not just messing with the believers, but also the unbelievers?
That's his job. Let me first answer that by saying that whether you are saved or not saved, a Christian or a non-Christian, we're still made in the image of God. And that's what he hates most, God's image. He's angry because his revolution failed. He's angry because he could not take over heaven. And now that he's been kicked out, he's against anything that represents that image. And so we must understand that. I've even said at times, and I've corrected myself, I'm saved, and now I'm using my gifts, And so now here come the devil. Well, in a sense, that's true. In a sense, that's true because he's going to turn up the light a little bit on you, use more of his imp.
Mm-hmm.
But he's trying to get all of those people who are unsaved, too, to keep them from ever recognizing God's word, God's people, God's messenger, God's light. And he's busy against all of humanity.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pastor, I have a big one here. And this is one of the things that many of us struggle with. And it indicates Satan causes some sickness and diseases. A lot of times we feel that God has failed us. We're looking at people that are dying of cancer, that are struggling with these illnesses. And it was crazy because even in church on Sunday, I tried my best to grab Ryder when he was about to go. I didn't know if he was going into the pulpit or where he was going, but my knee popped and I couldn't move. So right in the mother. I was like, I can't catch him. Elder Wade tried to grab him. That little boy was gone. You know, but I was like, my knee just popping. I'm from like the 10 men. It's like, once I had that last birthday, my body just been like, ooh. Now, what about this Satan causing some of this sickness and disease? Can you speak on that a little bit?
Yes. The first thing I want to say is we always seem to go back a lot to the writings of Paul because Paul is so important, instrumental to the church. We got to understand that Satan's ultimate cause of sickness and evil is because he brought down Adam and Eve. And what I mean by that, since we were just speaking on the garden, is that because of that fall, it changed all of the earth and all of humanity. And because of all of that, it was a big shock to mankind. And so we have to understand that when we see it. So Satan's direct role is also explicit to the case in Job. You know, sickness directly caused by Satan can come through the demonic realm. Sickness caused by Satan can come through direct contact with him, and it can come through even people who are being allowed to be used by Satan, which they are, to cause disease upon the earth. So certainly he is the father of that through the fall, but it can also come through all those other realms that we talked about. So it's talked about in Luke 13 and 16, Satan's direct role in causing sickness. It's talked about in Numbers 16, 45. It's talked about in 1 Samuel. It's talked about in Acts. And in each of those cases, the man of God was able to cast out the demon. And then in casting out the demon and putting them in place, the people were recovered from their sickness.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pastor, and as I'm looking at this and a lot of information, because like I said, we always say we're living in our last days. I did a show yesterday, and I was talking about community violence, and I woke up to the fact that there were still more shootings, especially in San Diego. And it's like, it's getting out of control. And we always say that with Satan and the devil tempted people to do this, and I'm looking on the news, I'm watching how they in Garden Grove, they had two young men that was robbing a 7-Eleven, and they should have caught my nail because you could see them, what they had on it, everything. But when we start talking about that, do you think that all sin is tempted by Satan? Or is it that people sometimes, when we're dealing with this temptation, what is that really about? Because we want to blame it all on the devil and on Satan.
It's a combination of both. Again, I want to state so our listeners can understand that Satan can only be in one place at a time. And oftentimes he's going after main influencers. He's going after a prince of an area, a prince of a region. And that's particularly is going to be a lot of times a bishop or a pontiff of some sorts. And what we see in these situations where we see shootings and we see violence, we see, again, the fallout of humanity, of sin. Can it ultimately be contributed to the devil? Yes. But oftentimes they're through the vices of the devil, through the works of alcoholism, through the works of the emotions and mental stages of people. They're through drug addictions. They're through violence. A lot of these shootings are through misunderstandings and through racial action. And so all of these do fall under Satan. We can say that he might be the underlying factors, but the direct answer for the believer to see is sin. And then indirectly, then we can all point this to Satan, because it is his ultimate goal to have us to be against each other, to have us be causing violence and chaos, so that he can say what God created is not good.
You know, Pastor, and one of the things is, and I'm looking at something that says there's no neutral zone. And the question is not whether you want to be in this war. Everyone is in it, whether you are spiritual or non-spiritual. We're all on the battlefield. And when we start talking about that, either we are defeated by the devil and thus following like cattle to the slaughter, or we could be on God's side when you're talking about resisting him, and we have to be firm in our faith. And part of this show in talking about this is for the Christians, the believers, that are struggling with some of these things, to have a forum where they can call in, they can speak with someone, they probably don't know neither one of us, and where they can get some sound biblical principles and advice and information as it relates to some of the questions that they may be struggling with. Now, what is it when we start talking about some of the things we can handle, when we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, when we start talking about it, we see little kids and we call them little devils, a little, you know, this child got some issues. What are some of the things that we can do to try to help individuals that are struggling with some of the things that they are going through in regards to some of the things they can't handle?
Yes. We got to understand is that the enemy, the devil, does not like the blood of Jesus. And when we plead the blood of Jesus as believers, we're doing that through prayer. There is powerful things that take place for the believers, for the community, for our nation, for our region, for our world, when we pray. And when we pray, the Bible says the effectual, you know, fervent, you know, prayer of the righteous man / woman availeth much. We have to believe when we pray that we're not just doing a spiritual exercise, but that we're praying with power. The power to deliver, the power to move, the power to improve, the power to give a hunger to the church. And what I mean by that is that the community is better when the church is effective. The church is effective when the church is doing what the church is called to do. And we have some churches that are very effective. We have effective people in churches. We see their results in communities. But we also see other groups and organizations that are in league with the enemy. And what I mean by that is our schools are under attack by Satan right now. And what I mean that is we have to say in a broad sense again. And I want to make it very clear. It's not that Satan is at the school himself. No, he's not. But he's in the minds of people. He's whispering in their ears through his imps, through his spiritual partners, through demonic forces and the demonic realm. And a lot of these things, a lot of these rules, a lot of these programs that we see taking place in our schools that are ungodly, the effective church has to go in and come against those things. And so we're seeing a same-sex, a homosexual agenda being propagated and promulgated on our schools. Satan is a liar, and he's using, diversity as his case. And so we're saying we don't want to discriminate against anybody, and we don't want to have anyone to feel left out, but they're promoting sinful and shameful values by doing this. We see the enemy doing this through also in trying to get rid of good schools and bring about charter schools. On the surface, it seems that this is a great thing to do. But what happens is these charter schools overprice our communities. They take away the federal dollars that are there, that are paid to public schools for people. And these charter schools are for-profit entities. And you're saying, well, Pastor, why are you bringing that up? Because once they get these kids into their schools, they teach curriculums that are oftentimes that are ungodly. They teach curriculums that are culturally diverse in a way to esteem one group and to tell and let down another group. And so we see how the enemy uses laws, how he uses politicians. This thing that they call the reclassification of city zones and lines and voting. How can you have a community that's 90% Democrat elect a Republican in? And we use the rule of gerrymandering, and what it is a lie. And so Satan, the father of lies, tells so many lies that the lies sound like truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so yes, go ahead.
No, I'm gonna let you finish.
Well, I was having a discussion with someone. I was having a discussion with someone the other day when they listed that every time our president comes on the air, he tells at least 15 lies. Every time he is on TV or in an interview, and this is what's before our people right now. And so when we see these things being lifted up, that's how we see the power of the devil. And then, even in that environment, we have to protect our children. We have to protect our churches. We have to protect our parks and our homes. And the old mothers used to go out and walk the neighborhoods and pray. They would go to the parks mm-hmm. and sit and pray. They didn't just stay in the churches. They would go and they would take the pray over. Do you remember when they would have 15, 20 bottles of blessed oil and they would pray mm-hmm. over all those oils and shut in, and then they take the oil and pass them out? And so as we become more educated, more sophisticated, and then so more in tune with this new social network, we're losing a lot of the old and effective ways that can still be very effective today.
True. That is true. Now, I have some information, and one of the questions it indicates, why does God allow Satan to live? Because if God can take care of this, and if God can, you know, and even when we talk about if our people who are called by our name would humble themselves, I'll heal the land. But the question then goes back to, again, why does God allow Satan to live with knowing all this stuff is going on?
Woo! Follow me. Follow me, church. Follow me, church. Number one is that time is only for us. Time is only for us to understand. I was telling someone today, the Lord hasn't come back yet because my great-grandson needs to be saved. They said, well, Pastor, you don't have a great-grandson. I said, that's right. He's coming, though. And so God is giving him time. God is giving him time. I can't be so selfish to say, Lord, come right now and take me out of here when there's other people that are still looking to be saved. And so that's the issue that we're dealing with. And in dealing with that, we have to understand that people have to see it from a whole realm. And in dealing with that, I want to answer your question. I want to answer your question this way, is that God has already pronounced death upon Satan. And by mm-hmm. doing that, he's already given him his place where he is going to be eternally. Can I say that hell was not created for the believer? It was created for the devil. The Bible clearly states that. And if anybody wants to join him there by dishonoring the word of the Lord and dealing with him, then that's where they're going to end up. And so now for the believer, it's important for us to understand that. We have to truly understand that. The second reason is that God uses Satan to be his, for lack of a better term, Satan is his Rottweiler. In Corinthians, it talks about how God uses Satan to corral backslidden believers, how to corral believers that are stepping out. God will allow the enemy to chase you for a season, to get you praying again, to get you back in church, mm-hmm. to let you know just how good God is. And so the Lord uses the devil to help correct the church. He uses the devil to show just how good and how powerful he is. The devil is part of God's testimony. in Job, God allows him access to heaven still to come and report. He comes and report, and the Lord says, where you been? He says, to and fro throughout the earth, seeking whom I may devour. And the Lord says, have you considered my servant Job, how he loves me, how he is an upright man? And the devil says, well, if you took your hedge around him, he'll cuss you to your name. And so the Lord allowed Satan to go in and to tempt Job. But Job stayed strong in the Lord, and Job came out even better because he saw his weaknesses. And so the Lord, that's why Satan is still here, because God does things in his own wisdom that blows our mind, but he clearly states in his Bible, in the Word of God, why he's doing this.
You know, when you said that, it kind of reminded me of when I went to my father's funeral back in December, and even before then, even growing up, and I used to hear some of the things my mother would say to my father, where my mother would go to church, get the Holy Ghost, and start speaking in tongues, and my daddy looking at her like she's crazy and all of this mess. And my father used to say, I don't want to go to heaven. And I asked him one day, why you want to go to heaven? He said, because I ain't going to know nobody there. He said, all my friends in hell, so I'm going to go where my friends are. But it was crazy because even though I buried my father in December on my birthday, I had got a message from one of his friends, because my father used to sing, and he had been singing practically all my life. And my father was on his Christian channel singing gospel music, because he would sing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So here he is singing gospel music, asking God to forgive him, but then he's singing as a male bulldogger, singing shoot when I say shoot and all this other stuff, and the way he lived was the way he died. And then about a week before he died, or before he was murdered, he told me, and I don't even remember, he said that I asked him to sing a song. No, I asked him a question, and I asked the question, was there white people in heaven? And I know good and well I don't remember saying that. And he sung a song about something like that. But when we start talking about a heaven and a hell, and then we'll say, okay, well, if we die, if we're good, we're going to heaven. But if we're bad, we're going to hell. And a lot of times individuals, we misinterpret that a lot of times. But we do need to, like you said, when we talk about that with Satan and the devilish things that we do, and we use it as a scare tactic. Now, and I'm saying this to say that a lot of times that we talked about the school, we talk about the media, what we're hearing from the president. What about some of this music we're listening to, Pastor? Can you speak on that in regards to the music?
Yes, I'm going back to our opening statement again to tell our listeners that was one of his chief jobs in heaven. And I've heard other pastors say that Satan was over the choir. Well, what he was he was over the worship in heaven. So the Lord created him to be the most beautiful. He was the head cherub, which means that he was the anointed one in heaven. So he was called Lucifer. And the Lord says that when he describes him, he describes his instruments. When the Lord describes his instruments, he's talking about, you know, how he had his pipes, how he had his horns, how he had his all of his instruments on him, and when he made beautiful music. He had a built-in pipe organ, so you could say he had a Hammond D3 on him. And so we're not far off track when we say that all of this music comes from him, this music that seduces, this music that entices, this music, because he is, when we talk about it, he was the musician, the most skilled musician in heaven. And the Bible talks about it clearly in Ezekiel, and it talks about it in Psalms. And so I had a writer one time, a musician, tells me that this is how powerful the devil is. Most people don't know it. Every hit song, Jeanette, every pop song of the devil has only 7 notes in it. And they say, you can't be right. 7 chords. And they say, you can't be right. And I have a little musical background, and I went through and I did it. And then I pulled up all the different lawsuits of musicians that say, this song close to mine, this song's close to mine. And you'll find it. Prince music sounds like this guy's music. This guy's music sounds like that music. And it is all music from the devil. And we've had certain musicians that have become saved. Well, they were saved. They went in the world, sang that music, then they came back to the church. And I remember the testimony of the musicians that sang the song. I can't think of their name right now, but the song was "I Want to Sex You Up."
Oh,
and
yeah.
What the musician
I
said,
want to sex you up.
And what
yeah.
the musician said, yes, what the musician said was they was high, they were drinking, they made a pact with the devil because they did not have a hit song, and the devil said, if you sing this song, it is going to hit number one. It's going to bring you out of nowhere into worldwide notoriety. And they said, yeah, we're going to do it. And they said, why? And the devil said, when this song hits, there's going to be over 1 million illegitimate children born from people having sex on this song. That was his written testimony. And
when you
so,
said it reminded me of the movie New Jack City, they played it in New Jack
yes.
City.
And so a lot
yeah.
of this music is meant to dissuade. It's meant to bring desire and bring lust. And so it is one of his most powerful weapons. It's a whole different subject, but music carries sound, and sound moves things. And chords move things. They change emotion.
Mm-hmm.
They change the atmosphere. I remember once, as a kid, we were watching a scary movie, and then we laughed later on when we watched it about how silly it was. The movie wasn't really scary at all. It was silly. What scared us was the music.
Correct. I'm going to take you back, Pastor. The name, that song you're talking about, I Want to Sex You Up, is basically a song that was recorded by an American group called Color Me Bad. And the song was released in March of 1991. That's the name of that song.
Yes. That was it. There was such a demonic tie to that song. There's demonic ties that's connected to hip hop, that's connected to a lot of rap music, that's connected to secular music, a lot to country music. There's so many people that said this song had a message to me, rock and roll, heavy metal, that caused me to come and bring about destruction to someone and to kill someone. And so we've had to deal with those different things as well. So,
and you know what,
Pastor?
And I want to say this here with music, because when I was a coach, there was certain music that I could play that would motivate my kids and get them all riled up, even before basketball games, you know. And it is very powerful, very powerful. Now, we have 7 minutes left on the air. Again, if you want to call in, if you have any questions, you can give us a call at 516-387-1914. Now, Pastor, with the time we have left, a lot of times, and you mentioned it earlier, talking about rebuking the devil and the devil will flee, or ignoring the devil. A lot of times as Christians, some people struggle with, do they even have the authority to rebuke the devil? How do you basically rebuke the devil? What are the steps? Because we're watching this disobedience, we're watching our kids, we're watching it in our relationships, and to rebuke him. Can you give the listeners what it means, or steps and tools of how to rebuke?
Yes. The first thing that we have to understand is that we have the power through the Holy Spirit, through the power of God, to keep Satan in line. The first thing that we can do to rebuke the enemy is to live a fulfilled Christian life. And what I mean by that is not allow ourselves to be open prey. And so if we learn to, as believers, to curb our flesh, so to speak, and not allow things that so easily beset us come in our way. And then if we can take that a step further and learn to make things lifestyle habits, praying every day, devotion every day, getting into our word sometime every day, trying to keep our mind focused on the Lord, even with our jobs, we are less open to attacks of the enemy. But now, if the enemy cannot attack you directly as a pastor, I've come to understand it's very clearly that he will come through and attack a loved one. He will attack someone close to you. whether it is a direct relative, a child, or a close friend, or someone in your ministry. And what we have to do immediately is do what Jesus did. When you know the word will come out of you. Satan has to run when the word of God is put upon him. And what Jesus did is when Satan misquoted the word of God, Jesus quoted the correct word back to him in Matthew 4. Matthew 4 is a study that I would tell every believer to go through and understand. Why? Is because it is a direct attack from Jesus to Satan, and Jesus gives us the blueprint on how to get rid of the devil. If the devil attacked him with food, if the devil attacked him with power, if the devil attacked him with prestige, if the devil attacked him with his body, he's going to come after us in all those ways too. And knowing the word and putting the word back on Satan is the most powerful way to make him flee. And then, as we said earlier, the Bible tells us if we resist him, he's going to flee. The number one way to resist the devil is not to sit there and stare at him. It's to be busy doing what God has called us to do.
That's powerful. That is powerful because we got a bad habit of pointing the finger and, hey, did you see this? Hey, look over here, you know, and we get distracted.
Yes. So the Lord showed me something the other day in that the enemy oftentimes attack our minds and he brings back failures. And what I mean by that is as a believer, we say, oh, I had a season when I was in the clubs. I had a season when I was drinking. I had a season when I was going through with this person, that person, this relationship, that relationship. And the enemy has a way of just bringing back good times or pleasurable times in a worldly sense. And we'll sit, and sometimes we may laugh and chuckle. And the Lord says when the enemy entertains your mind that way, when he attacks you that way, we have to immediately rebuke that by saying, God, I thank you for bringing me out of that. Because there was a lot of ugliness that comes from those situations too, and the bad times overpowered those things. And so the enemy has a way of making it look good, flossing it over, glossing it up, making it shine, so to speak. And so the real truth behind it is that it was sinful. It was ugly. It was a shameful time for the believer, for that person, for that man, for that woman, for that young person, for that child. And we are grateful that the Lord brought us out of that sin, out of that situation unscathed, you know, that he brought us out unshattered. And so is there still some good memories of people and places and things of our past? Yes, there is. But then we take that and we thank God that he's covered us and that he's kept us. And then we tell the Lord there's so many beautiful things for us to think on. And that's what God means when the scripture, when he's talking about, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. When we think on the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for us, when we think on the goodness of Jesus in our life, when we think on the goodness of Jesus in our neighborhoods, in our community, in our churches, it just blots out everything that Satan's trying to do. He can't even take it, you know. It's just like a hater when they see you blowing up. They just can't take it. They just got to go away. And you don't even have to say nothing to them. People can see what God's doing in your life, and, you know, they'll make comments, and we don't comment back. We just keep on this journey doing what God wants us to do.
That is so true, Pastor. Okay, we're going to be wrapping up the show. I want to thank you guys for joining us here as we are on Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio with Pastor Dan and Stell from Higher Dominion Worship Center. So I want to say, and I'm going to let you close out with who, where you are in the church and the address again, but it indicates the most effective weapons we have against the devil is our faith, our wisdom, and the knowledge about God and his word. Even though we will be tempted by Satan, but we got to stand on his word and use the word against him. Because although we live in the world, we're not of the world. Now, Pastor, give them the address and the information for the church again and how they can connect with you or contact you if they want to see you preach.
Yes, we are Higher Dominion Worship Center. We are in the beautiful city of San Marcos at 800 West Mission Road in San Marcos. We're next to Palomar College, a landmark in beautiful San Marcos. and we look forward to hearing from you. You can contact us on the web at hdwc.life. We have information on the church there. You can also contact us on Facebook at HDWC, Higher Dominion Worship Center. And we are always here to counsel, to help, to give instructions on the Lord. And we're glad to have this platform to help the believer be empowered. God bless you.
Thank you. And next week, we are going to be talking about developing obedience, because we need to be a little bit more obedient. So until
Amen.
Next week, remember, you've got this. And we look forward to you joining us next week at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio as we talk about From the Altar to the Couch. Talk to you later, Pastor. Thank you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.